beginning again from the cradle of life. And for you ones who have to remember first, it's hard. It's hard to see an island that used to be the western or the eastern hemisphere of your nation. It's hard to visualize a sea that starts and rifts the entirety of your continent, splitting by a sea your great nations, separating and drifting Canada and Alaska off toward the north, California missing, a sea and the area of Tehachapi and Mojave, an island, Atlanta and surrounding areas, an island, a sea in the middle that has to be traversed by air because the cliffs are so sharp and steep in its newness that no ship can land. Waves flowing in upon your eastern and your western coastlines, washing ashore until the Antelope Valley is an ocean. Is this next year? Is this 1,000 years? Is it 1,000,000 years? How about 10 billion years? Does it matter? Indeed, it matters. Because you, in the life form manifest upon the place, have been sent to the place to hold her hand and guide her through this time of pain and tribulation upon her face, as your mother changes. Ones want to know about some moon or man face on places like Mars. What difference does it make? You're looking at something great distant. It cannot have the kind of meaning that your psychics and your fortune tellers wish to place upon it. More important, where are the symbols that man existed? Will man in civilization as human being vanish from the face of the universe as he projected onto a planet called Shen? Not if we do our job. God gives us opportunity to remold, to recreate, that he might allow a species to move forward and grow? Or does he just uncreate? And your preachers would tell you, oh, he wouldn't do that. Don't hold your breath. Man is only a fraction of a thought away from being uncreated as you know man of earth. Will evil prevail? For a long time, evil already has prevailed. I don't even know how to speak to the ones from the Mormon Church who wants me to quarrel on the basis of their book, when I know that basically the Ten Commandments have been set to stone for the generations to come who no longer even speak the language. and I realize that one's become weary. You get tired of hearing it. I get tired of saying it. We work under very adverse circumstances just to make a tape. We have to go back and repeat and repeat and repeat because the phones ring incessantly. The lawnmowers go. The birds cheep. Life goes on. And we must do our work in the midst of life as we are manifest to experience it. And sometimes as that commander, I get so weary. And I want to hold my crew and say, let's go home. They don't understand. And without exception, I get back, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? Because you are there, manifested and experiencing. And I will not leave one of you, not one. And when the ending comes, I will not leave one of God's creatures. Not one. Not one. And I would like to give my voice a rest, please. I don't know what it meant to the rest of you, but she's undone.
All right. The next question is, please discuss the Jewish Bible as regards Christian Bible.
Obli, I think let us just take a 10 or 15 minute break.
Very well.
Is that all right with ones in the room? Let's do it.
I see the very streets erupting. It's like we're looking down from a hill, and in some portions the water's coming in, and their bodies and their animals and their trees and there's everything just piled upon everything else. And it looks like the sky's on fire. And still it comes and it comes and it comes and it comes. And then you look across the valleys and there's nothing already there but just parched, dead, row after row after row of fields that has no life anymore. And you know, as you look across, it's contaminated. And then I curse myself, and I guess I curse God, because I say I cannot have volunteered for this. And I want most of you to know and hear that you volunteered for something, and you're not going to get off of here. And you've been sensing it. I know at some time I volunteered that I would see it through. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know of 144 or 143,999 at least that says I will do whatever we have to do. And I know that I have absolutely no human ability to cope with it or deal with it. I can't even fathom it. And I want to keep playing in this little game of denial. Oh, I was wise, you know, earlier on. Precious little pregnant girl, totally denying the fact that she's even pregnant. And we're all trying to get through this denying. hey, man, I want to tell you, I want to go to Ramtha. I don't want to deal with this one. I don't want to deal with this. And I'm frustrated because I can't see. Will it be tomorrow? Will it be next week? And I get angry because I say, well, at least show me so I can deal with it. And I get the same thing he tells all of us in here. You've got to deal with it. You've got to be prepared as best you can. But most of all, you have to know. And I know that it's okay. And somehow I resent the fact that I know that I'll be okay. And you'll be okay. But there ain't nothing else on this place that's going to be okay. Little pods of us living here and there. And possibly being able to rebuild if the major part of this mess can be shut down some way. I know that the Aboriginal people, some of them will be coming back to re-inhabit in South America and places like that. I know that there will be a massive, massive uprising of a continent where the Atlantic is, and another one where the Pacific is, and we will be the remnant, and there's going to be mountains in that ocean that are going to be 10,000 feet high. I can see it. I know it. But what I cannot see is, are we going to be in the cave to do this? And I'm just flat scared ass out of my mind. And I thank you for listening to me for a minute. About it. Please keep it in your hearts. I would like to take up the subject of what is a Christian doctrine? And what about this Jewish Bible? And what about this Christian Bible? I find it easier to respond in this manner than try to work this subject in the open meeting as a test run, if you will, Sheila's, for a larger subject I want to carry a little bit later, and I want to see how this kind of a system can work into our meetings so that I can more carefully ponder and present to you some of this subject material, which is more lengthy and gets more confused as other ones ask existing questions. So bear with us, please, while we effort at this kind of communication. It also allows Dorma an opportunity to participate as one of you would in some of these very personally interesting subject matters. So you'll note that you have at least 300 religious sects in the United States expressing Christianity and also expressing the Bible, as you call it, in their own way and in your own way. I'd say that over 50% of these teachings are simply church doctrines. We've gone into that greatly. And that's the separation of religion from true spiritual truth, is that true spiritual truth was presented and man made his doctrines, utilizing, leaving intact or changing as desirable to suit man's needs and forgetting God's instructions. So let us speak a little bit about these church doctrines, creeds, and dogmas, for they're found absolutely nowhere in true Christianity. Each religious sect has its origin from some would-be Messiah or another who disagreed with the written word. You don't have a true Christian Bible. What you do have is the Christian story as adopted into Judaism, or more clearly, as you would recognize it in modern terminology, more clearly, the Jewish Bible. Now, what's really confusing is that the Jews rejected Jesus because Jesus was not Jewish. Well, how could that be? He certainly was not a Khazarian. So we're getting there, aren't we? This subject was covered, quite frankly, in a Jewish paper. And it stated, we do not have a true Christian Bible. What we have is the Christian story adopted into Judaism, or more clearly, the Jewish Bible. What's really confusing is that the Jews rejected Jesus because Jesus was not Jewish. So what in the world could that mean, Jesus? You're getting to the heart of a lot of unearthed information, and you wish to reject it because some space commander is sharing it with you. Well, I'm not some space commander. I am a host of living God Creator, traveling with the great teacher who becomes one with God to come upon your place. Call him what you wish. Nevertheless, you mostly carry the Jewish Bible to church every Sunday. This is only to say again that you do not have a specific Christian Bible. This is nothing against the Jewish Bible, friends, but few Christians ever have realized that this is truth. Where is the true specific Christian, quote-unquote, doctrine? Jesus didn't teach Judaism, although he was a devout, family-reared Judean. He taught Christianity from the teachings he brought with him as a Christed being. His body, as such, was not in Christed likeness, for he was birthed a man, bearing the soul knowledge of a Christed man, or a Christed being. As he grew into the fullness of his knowledge, and efforted to teach exactly what we are bringing to you, as hosts, teachers, and messengers sent forth again, prior to the arrival, to give you the truth. You'd better ponder this. And in your mind, you better consider that it's no wonder that especially your younger generations wander off to create their own spiritual expression, because you've lied to them. You've given them false information. And I suggest you give a lot of thought to it.
commander here. Thank you for being late. That's the last of that particular subject. I thank you for sharing a little bit. I don't get too many resignations. I get a lot of thrust. I think I'll resign today if you don't mind, Commander. And I can only ask you, what better do you have to do? There has to be emotional expression, as we spoke of earlier. And you will find that as you share heart emotion, seeking and working toward the same goal, you only have compassion and love. And you forget trying to sort it all out, but to deal with what is. And as you come into the more shocking realizations, you're going to have to accept the fact that they're going to be overwhelming. It's better to accept the fact, let it be overwhelming, and then you can go on. And I don't mind if you try to resign from time to time. I know that you will not leave this job. And I know that all of you know and you sense it's coming closer and closer to your time of real responsibility. What happens after the word goes? The word would not be coming were it not about time for all else to culminate. When we speak of Bibles, doctrines, religions, you'll just have to realize that the reason that the Judaists stop using that Jewish Bible as referred to is because they had elder men of wisdom that they called elders, and they called men of wisdom write the Talmud, which has replaced that Judean Hebrew Bible and the teachings as handed down by Moses and the forefathers of the generations to come. The Zionist, as such, peeled away from the church and began to utilize the Talmud as the foundation upon which they would function as a religious group. Although the confusion always gets completely irrational in its presentation. Zionism is a political party, and this day in Palestine and Israel is pure horror. The Israeli military just marched into a quiet Palestinian gathering. Interesting thing, they were sitting in little resin chairs just as you ones are. And the Israeli military broke in, arrested 11 of them. They wielded military power. And they said they would have no toleration for armed gatherings. Do you see where you're headed? And do you see that by your own measure, you're headed there by year 2000? How many years does that leave you? How fast does a decade go in the twinkling of even your eye? So you can't, Dorma can't, you cannot live in the vacuum
You have to move with it. And only knowledge will allow you to do it in sanity. Because all efforts are being made against you to make sure you do not do it in sanity. And hopefully to make you throw in the towel and yell, "Uncle." And then they don't have an adversary. They just march over you. Well, I hear Dorma saying they're marching over us anyway. And that's true. And that's why I tell you, you're going to work within the system. No matter what comes and what system. You must work within the system. Because you cannot go from human, physical, into etheric being all at once. You have to at least mentally adjust to the fact that you can do it. Or the body itself will take over. Your consciousness will take over. And you will perish. We can't allow that to happen to us. If you cannot have a group as a foundation upon which others can lean in truth, in separateness, no commune, no church, no doctrine, just brother, efforting as a unit to accomplish something so that all ones can feel free to participate and deny if they would, if they wish. We're going to do it. The shape of this world may be different. We went from your place. You, some of you, even helped prepare the place to which you will be experiencing. You will not be given more than you have qualification for bearing. Experience the overwhelm. Experience the feelings of unworthiness. And then get off your assets. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Look in that mirror and say, "I am a reflection of God. Would I be unworthy?" God does not produce imperfection. You ones have just not been able to accept the fact that you're it. Everybody sticks up their hand and says, "I want to be it. I want to be it." Well, you're it. Now you wish you'd not raised it quite so high. Well, I mean, maybe I, what did Copperfield say, look natural. I was just scratching. Well, you shouldn't have itched. We're going to do it. And this is the way the Father responds to the petition. He doesn't do magic. He doesn't need to do miracles. He needs to touch your heart, and you will do them. It must be you who does them. He already knows what he can do. He's waiting for you to show him what you can do. Go ahead, Oberly. Let's move on. You see, this is even a cop-out. She is so happy to be tucked back under my wing so she doesn't have to do anything. No feelings, just let it pass. Well, we all have to experience a little bit along this road.
Next question. Please also comment on a Messiah headed for Israel. Is this a Zionist setup?
Thus, look at a write-up that comes out of Kfar Chabad, Israel. It's from the Associated Press, and it's now several weeks old. But worthy of attention, and inquiries have been made regarding this, so let me share it with you.
Oberly,
the headline says, I utilize this because one sinned with their questions, usually, you know, wanting to know what about this, what about this, and this backs it up and this proves it, etc. That's not what I want to talk about right here, however. I want to talk about the Associated Press. Who's going to own it now? Mm-hmm. 700 Club, isn't it? Do you think it's going to make a difference in truth? Go ahead, please.
His Messiah may head for Israel. Orthodox unrest awaits him. For those who want to believe, the message is clear. Prepare for the coming of the Messiah, announce billboards along Israel's highways, yellow neon signs mounted on cars, and glossy posters slapped on city walls. The campaign was begun by followers of New York-based Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. That's important, Chilas. That's very much a man. He's 89, and he believes they're charismatic leader is the Messiah and will soon come to Israel. It was created from unknown resources. It has, however, created tension between rival ultra-Orthodox Jewish sects. Schneerson, the grand rabbi of the Lubavitch Hasidic sect, has said the Messiah is coming soon, announcing that the time of redemption has now arrived. He has not claimed to be the Redeemer, but has not discouraged the idea either. Although Schneerson had a stroke, his followers still are collecting signatures asking the Russian-born rabbi to reveal himself as the Messiah. Well, isn't this like voting in something, precious ones? Let's get a group of signatures on a petition, and we'll just ask this Russian-born rabbi to become Messiah for us. Does this sound godly? Does this sound like the way God will return to you? Such talk has thrown ultra-Orthodox Judaism into total turmoil. Arch rival Rabbi Eliezer Schach, S-C-H-A-C-H, who is 96, has denounced Schneerson as a false messiah. Oh, how incredible. Is it even remotely possible that either one would be the messiah? That God would leave such incredible, stupid gamesmanship in the hands of rabbis who can't make up their mind? It goes on. The messianic fervor in Schneerson's movement has been building for years and reached a climax a few weeks ago when the rabbi agreed to have a house built for him in Kfar Chabad. In Kfar Chabad, followers are totally ecstatic. Rabbi Joseph Aronoff, head of Chabad in Israel, and the mastermind of the $400,000 publicity campaign is more cautious. Now, who do you think puts up the $400,000 for the publicity campaign, precious little U.S. taxpayers? So, and gifted, of course, by the followers who are American citizens and can give this money tax-free as contributions to a religious order. It goes on from Aronoff. I believe he is the best candidate for Messiah, being that in every generation there is a candidate. Well, let us just set up an election and put up candidates and choose God. Let us just choose up the Messiah. How does that fit all with all of you ones? You already foot the bill for the survival of this chosen place called Israel. You have helped displace Palestinians. They have now completely ruled out that Jesus, who wasn't even Jesus, was not a Jew. And therefore, according to the Jewish terminology as laid forth right here in that assumption, could not be Israeli nor Judean. I suggest we pay a lot of attention to this kind of confused output of information. These are the same ones, I might add, who denounce the protocols of the elder men of Zion as being false and forged. Keep that also in your heart.
Well, maybe they'll let you vote on
it. I would like...
But don't count on it.
To speak on information now coming out. It's being poured out all over you, everywhere. But I have been given a couple of articles that came along with the inquiry.
That's fine. Go ahead. They're just brief little things about...
And because they suffice for my needs, I'm going to share them with you so that you will know what is coming forth. And believe me, it is coming forth from all over, everywhere. For instance, there's one that comes from Germany. And the same article has appeared in many, many of your papers around your country. And it's just a little blur, but it's kind of interesting that this kind of thing is coming forth. You see, I was asked by some visitors within the last 2 days about the possibility of a major base, as understood, within 50 miles or so of Munich. Well, of course, you have Hinterschmitte Rudi, which is where the Billy Meyer Semyasi Center is. But I wouldn't take that too seriously anymore, because that one has been pretty badly corrupted and taken over by adversarial forces and resources, at least on an outward level. That does not mean anything derogatory to Billy Meyer. It means that many things happened since those early contacts with Billy Meyer and this day. Now you have a situation where this place, Hinterschmitte Rudi, is in Switzerland. And this article pertains to Switzerland, and it comes out of Geneva. And the reference is to a sect who wants an embassy for space aliens. So it says here, a Swiss sect that claims it represents extraterrestrial beings wants to found an embassy for them in Switzerland, according to press reports. Claude Vorhillon, head of a 250-member sect that claims it has contact with extraterrestrial beings called Elohim, wants to put the space embassy on a national ballot. Vorhillon claims he's the legitimate representative of the Elohim and has met the space creature several times. He turned to a referendum after Swiss authorities ignored the sect's efforts to get an embassy approved. He will need to collect 100,000 signatures to put the item on a referendum. Now, I utilize this because I have been asked from two different sources if, quote, Elohim represent Pleiadians. This whole story is a total bunch of hogwash. It would be nice if you formed an embassy, but do you really think that any Pleiadian could be allowed to use it? So you must look at things like this, and when you have a situation where you are going to go collect 100,000 Earth men's names to establish something, you are going to do it under the rules and regulations of the elite. And you can know that that is what this amounts to. Just simply more way of introducing space aliens so that at some point you can form a planetary movement against space aliens. So let's see what else is being said. Well, on April 4th, from an Arizona paper comes an article entitled Alien Beings Use Humans, says author. This comes out of Reuters News Service in New York. And it goes like this. Alien beings repeatedly have snatched humans from Earth to conduct breeding experiments, according to Secret Life. First-hand accounts of UFO abductions, a book of interviews with those who say they were abducted. David Jacobs, nice name, a Temple University professor whose specialty is 20th century U.S. history, acknowledges the bizarre nature of the evidence he presents. More often the stuff of supermarket tabloids and dismissed as bunk by most serious scientists. In a recent interview, he said that the 60 abductees accounts for more than 300 incidents and are remarkably similar, and that he has found no reason to disbelieve them. Quote, what we have here is an enormous number of people saying unbelievably incredible things, things that fly in the face of reason, yet all their stories are the same down to the most precise detail. Jacob says, far from being close encounters with benign beings as imagined by fiction writers or screen directors, the abductees in Jacob's book describe their experience as horrendous, a daily dose of pain. They tell of being abducted, usually at night from their beds, when they are physically lifted by a beam of light to an unidentified flying object, disrobed and physically examined from feet to head, with particular emphasis on the genitals. One of the most popular accounts of UFO abduction has been published by Look magazine in 1966, the story of Betty Hill and her husband Barney, who said they were abducted on a drive from Montreal to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, in September 1961. That incident became the subject of a book by John Fuller, which in turn became The UFO Incident, a 1975 television film. Throughout their abduction, the humans were controlled by the aliens' large hypnotic eyes. One frightening procedure recalled by all abductees is what Jacobs calls mind scan. Oh, how horrendous can you get, Jesus? In which an alien comes close to the abductee on the examination table and stares unrelentingly. It's like the eyes overwhelm me, one abductee said. Their eyes go inside you. You just are held. You can't stop looking. If you wanted to, you couldn't look away. You are drawn into them, and they sort of come into you. The abductees all give similar descriptions of the alien beings. That should be the first clue right there, Chilas. 2 to 4 feet in height, with large piercing eyes and hairless heads, body similar to humans but lacking genitalia, and gray skin that feels rubbery or leathery. Oh my goodness, and we're going to conduct breeding experiments when these ones don't have genitalia? It seems like you already are off to contradiction. So the description fits the aliens in Steven Spielberg's movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Now, how do we know that? I don't believe anyone checked on their genitalia, so it's a little hard for me.
Beginning again from the cradle of life. And for you ones who have to remember first, it's hard. It's hard to see an island that used to be the western or the eastern hemisphere of your nation. It's hard to visualize a sea that starts and rifts the entirety of your continent, splitting by a sea your great nations, separating and drifting Canada and Alaska off toward the north, California missing, a sea and the area of Tehachapi and Mojave, an island, Atlanta and surrounding areas, an island, a sea in the middle that has to be traversed by air because the cliffs are so sharp and steep in its newness that no ship can land. Waves flowing in upon your eastern and your western coastlines, washing ashore until the Antelope Valley is an ocean. Is this next year? Is this 1,000 years? Is it 1,000,000 years? How about 10 billion years? Does it matter? Indeed, it matters. Because you, in the life form manifest upon the place, have been sent to the place to hold her hand and guide her through this time of pain and tribulation upon her face. As your mother changes. Ones want to know about some moon or man face on places like Mars. What difference does it make? You're looking at something great distant. It cannot have the kind of meaning that your psychics and your fortune tellers wish to place upon it. More important, where are the symbols that man existed? Will man in civilization as human being vanish from the face of the universe as he projected onto a planet called Shen? Not if we do our job. God gives us opportunity to remold, to recreate, that he might allow a species to move forward and grow? Or does he just uncreate?
and your preachers would tell you, oh, he wouldn't do that. Don't hold your breath. Man is only a fraction of a thought away from being uncreated as you know man of earth. Will evil prevail? For a long time, evil already has prevailed. I don't even know how to speak to the ones from the Mormon Church who wants me to quarrel on the basis of their book, when I know that basically the Ten Commandments have been set to stone for the generations to come who no longer even speak the language. And I realize that one's become weary. You get tired of hearing it. I get tired of saying it. We work under very adverse circumstances. Just to make a tape, we have to go back and repeat and repeat and repeat because the phones ring incessantly. The lawnmowers go. The birds cheep. Life goes on. And we must do our work in the midst of life as we are manifest to experience it. And sometimes as that commander, I get so weary. And I want to hold my crew and say, let's go home. They don't understand. And without exception, I get back, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? Because you are there, manifested and experiencing. And I will not leave one of you, not one. And when the ending comes, I will not leave one of God's creatures, not one. Not one. And I would like to give my voice a rest, please. I don't know what it meant to the rest of you, but she's undone.
All right. The next question is, please discuss the Jewish Bible as regards Christian Bible.
Obli, I think let us just take a 10 or 15 minute break.
Very well.
Is that all right with ones in the room? Let's do it.
I see the very streets erupting. It's like we're looking down from a hill. And in some portions, the water's coming in. And their bodies and their animals and their trees and there's everything just piled upon everything else. And it looks like the sky's on fire. And still it comes and it comes and it comes and it comes. And then you look across the valleys. And there's nothing already there but just parched, dead, row after row after row of fields that has no life anymore. And you know, as you look across, it's contaminated. And then I curse myself, and I guess I curse God, because I say I cannot have volunteered for this. And I want most of you to know and hear that you volunteered for something and you're not going to get off of here. And you've been sensing it. I know at some time I volunteered that I would see it through.
And I know that I'm not the only one. I know of 144 or 143,999, at least, that says I will do whatever we have to do. And I know that I have absolutely no human ability to cope with it or deal with it. I can't even fathom it. And I want to keep playing in this little game of denial. Oh, I was wise, you know, earlier on. Precious little pregnant girl, totally denying the fact that she's even pregnant. And we're all trying to get through this denying. Hey, man, I want to tell you, I want to go to Ramtha. I don't want to deal with this one. I don't want to deal with this. And I'm frustrated because I can't see. Will it be tomorrow? Will it be next week? And I get angry because I say, well, at least show me so I can deal with it. And I get the same thing he tells all of us in here. You've got to deal with it. You've got to be prepared as best you can. But most of all, you have to know. And I know that it's okay. And somehow I resent the fact that I know that I'll be okay. And you'll be okay. But there ain't nothing else on this place that's going to be okay. Little pods of us living here and there. And possibly being able to rebuild. If the major part of this mess can be shut down some way. I know that the Aboriginal people, some of them will be coming back to re-inhabit in South America and places like that. I know that there will be a massive, massive uprising of a continent where the Atlantic is, and another one where the Pacific is, and we will be the remnant, and there's going to be mountains in that ocean that are going to be 10,000 feet high. I can see it. I know it. But what I cannot see is, are we going to be in the cave to do this? And I'm just flat scared ass out of my mind. And I thank you for listening to me for a minute. About it. Please keep it in your hearts. I would like to take up the subject of what is a Christian doctrine? And what about this Jewish Bible? And what about this Christian Bible? I find it easier to respond in this manner than try to work this subject in the open meeting as a test run, if you will, Sheila's, for a larger subject I want to carry a little bit later, and I want to see how this kind of a system can work into our meetings so that I can more carefully ponder and present to you some of this subject material, which is more lengthy and gets more confused as other ones ask existing questions. So bear with us, please, while we effort at this kind of communication. It also allows Dorma an opportunity to participate as one of you would
in some of these very personally interesting subject matters. So you'll note that you have at least 300 religious sects in the United States expressing Christianity and also expressing the Bible, as you call it, in their own way and in your own way. I'd say that over 50% of these teachings are simply church doctrines. We've gone into that greatly. And that's the separation of religion from true spiritual truth, is that true spiritual truth was presented and man made his doctrines, utilizing, leaving intact or changing as desirable to suit man's needs and forgetting God's instructions. So let us speak a little bit about these church doctrines, creeds, and dogmas, for they're found absolutely nowhere in true Christianity. Each religious sect has its origin from some would-be Messiah or another who disagreed with the written word. You don't have a true Christian Bible. What you do have is the Christian story as adopted into Judaism, or more clearly, as you would recognize it in modern terminology, more clearly, the Jewish Bible. Now, what's really confusing is that the Jews rejected Jesus because Jesus was not Jewish. Well, how could that be? He certainly was not a Khazarian. Ah, so we're getting there, aren't we? This subject was covered, quite frankly, in a Jewish paper, and it stated, we do not have a true Christian Bible. What we have is the Christian story adopted into Judaism, or more clearly, the Jewish Bible. What's really confusing is that the Jews rejected Jesus because Jesus was not Jewish. So what in the world could that mean, Chilas? You're getting to the heart of a lot of unearthed information, and you wish to reject it because some space commander is sharing it with you. Well, I'm not some space commander. I am a host of living God Creator, traveling with the great teacher who becomes one with God to come upon your place. Call him what you wish. Nevertheless, you mostly carry the Jewish Bible to church every Sunday. This is only to say again that you do not have a specific Christian Bible. This is nothing against the Jewish Bible, friends, but few Christians ever have realized that this is truth. Where is the true specific Christian, quote unquote, doctrine? Jesus didn't teach Judaism, although he was a devout, family-reared Judean. He taught Christianity from the teachings he brought with him as a Christed being. His body, as such, was not in Christed likeness, for he was birthed a man, bearing the soul knowledge of a Christed man or a Christed being. As he grew into the fullness of his knowledge and efforted to teach exactly what we are bringing to you as host teachers and messengers sent forth again prior to the arrival to give you the truth. You'd better ponder this. And in your mind, you better consider that it's no wonder that especially your younger generations wander off to create their own spiritual expression, because you've lied to them. You've given them false information. And I suggest you give a lot of thought to it.
Commander here. Thank you for being late. That's the last of that particular subject. I thank you for sharing a little bit. I don't get too many resignations. I get a lot of thrust. I think I'll resign today if you don't mind, Commander. And I can only ask you, what better do you have to do? There has to be emotional expression, as we spoke of earlier. And you will find that as you share heart emotion, seeking and working toward the same goal, you only have compassion and love. And you forget trying to sort it all out, but to deal with what is. And as you come into the more shocking realizations, you're going to have to accept the fact that they're going to be overwhelming. It's better to accept the fact, let it be overwhelming, and then you can go on. And I don't mind if you try to resign from time to time. I know that you will not leave this job. And I know that all of you know and you sense it's coming closer and closer to your time of real responsibility. What happens after the word goes? The word would not be coming were it not about time for all else to culminate. When we speak of Bibles, doctrines, religions, you'll just have to realize that the reason that the Judaists stop using that Jewish Bible as referred to is because they had elder men of wisdom that they called elders, and they called men of wisdom write the Talmud, which has replaced that Judean Hebrew Bible and the teachings as handed down by Moses and the forefathers of the generations to come. The Zionist, as such, peeled away from the church and began to utilize the Talmud as the foundation upon which they would function as a religious group. Although the confusion always gets completely irrational in its presentation. Zionism is a political party. And this day in Palestine and Israel is pure horror. the Israeli military just marched into a quiet Palestinian gathering. Interesting thing, they were sitting in little resin chairs just as you ones are. And the Israeli military broke in, arrested 11 of them. They wielded military power, and they said they would have no toleration for armed gatherings. Do you see where you're headed? And do you see that by your own measure, you're headed there by year 2000? How many years does that leave you? How fast does a decade go in the twinkling of even your eye? So you can't. Dorma can't. You cannot live in the vacuum. You have to move with it. And only knowledge will allow you to do it in sanity. Because all efforts are being made against you to make sure you do not do it in sanity. And hopefully to make you throw in the towel and yell, "Uncle." And then they don't have an adversary. They just march over you. Well, I hear Dorma saying they're marching over us anyway. And that's true. And that's why I tell you, you're going to work within the system. No matter what comes and what system. You must work within the system. Because you cannot go from human, physical, into etheric being all at once. You have to at least mentally adjust to the fact that you can do it. Or the body itself will take over, your consciousness will take over, and you will perish. We can't allow that to happen to us. If you cannot have a group as a foundation upon which others can lean in truth, in separateness, no commune, no church, no doctrine, just brother, efforting as a unit to accomplish something so that all ones can feel free to participate and deny if they would, if they wish. We're going to do it. The shape of this world may be different. We went from your place. You, some of you, even helped prepare the place to which you will be experiencing. You will not be given more than you have qualification for bearing. Experience the overwhelm. Experience the feelings of unworthiness. And then get off your assets. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Look in that mirror and say, "I am a reflection of God. Would I be unworthy?" God does not produce imperfection. You ones have just not been able to accept the fact that you're it. Everybody sticks up their hand and says, "I want to be it. I want to be it." Well, you're it. Now you wish you'd not raised it quite so high. Well, I mean, maybe I, what did Copperfield say, look natural. I was just scratching. Well, you shouldn't have itched. We're going to do it. And this is the way the Father responds to the petition. He doesn't do magic. He doesn't need to do miracles. He needs to touch your heart, and you will do them. It must be you who does them. He already knows what he can do. He's waiting for you to show him what you can do. Go ahead, Oberle. Let's move on. You see, this is even a cop-out. She is so happy to be tucked back under my wing so she doesn't have to do anything. No feelings, just let it pass. Well, we all have to experience a little bit along this road.
Next question. Please also comment on a Messiah headed for Israel. Is this a Zionist setup?
Thus, look at a write-up that comes out of Kfar Chabad, Israel. It's from the Associated Press, and it's now several weeks old, but worthy of attention, and inquiries have been made regarding this, so let me share it with you.
Oberle,
the headline says,
I utilize this because one sinned with their questions, usually, you know, wanting to know what about this, and this backs it up, and this proves it, etc. That's not what I want to talk about right here, however. I want to talk about the Associated Press. Who's going to own it now? Mm-hmm. 700 Club, isn't it? Do you think it's going to make a difference in truth? Go ahead, please.
His Messiah may head for Israel. Orthodox unrest awaits him. For those who want to believe, the message is clear. Prepare for the coming of the Messiah, announce billboards along Israel's highways, yellow neon signs mounted on cars, and glossy posters slapped on city walls. The campaign was begun by followers of New York-based Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. That's important, Chilas. That's very much a man. He's 89, and he believes they're charismatic leader is the Messiah and would soon come to Israel. It was created from unknown resources. It has, however, created tension between rival ultra-Orthodox Jewish sects. Schneerson, the grand rabbi of the Lubavitch Hasidic sect, has said the Messiah is coming soon, announcing that the time of redemption has now arrived. He has not claimed to be the Redeemer, but has not discouraged the idea either. Although Schneerson had a stroke, his followers still are collecting signatures asking the Russian-born rabbi to reveal himself as the Messiah. Well, isn't this like voting in something, precious ones? Let's get a group of signatures on a petition, and we'll just ask this Russian-born rabbi to become Messiah for us. Does this sound godly? Does this sound like the way God will return to you? Such talk has thrown ultra-Orthodox Judaism into total turmoil. Arch rival Rabbi Eliezer Sach, Schach, who is 96, has denounced Schneerson as a false messiah. Oh, how incredible. Is it even remotely possible that either one would be the messiah? That God would leave such incredible, stupid gamesmanship in the hands of rabbis who can't make up their mind? It goes on. The messianic fervor in Schneerson's movement has been building for years and reached a climax a few weeks ago when the rabbi agreed to have a house built for him in Kfar Chabad. In Kfar Chabad, followers are totally ecstatic. Rabbi Joseph Aronoff, head of Chabad in Israel and the mastermind of the $400,000 publicity campaign, is more cautious. Now, who do you think puts up the $400,000 for the publicity campaign, precious little U.S. taxpayers? So, and gifted, of course, by the followers who are American citizens and can give this money tax-free as contributions to a religious order. It goes on from Aronoff. I believe he is the best candidate for Messiah, being that in every generation there is a candidate. Well, let us just set up an election and put up candidates and choose God. Let us just choose up the Messiah. How does that fit all with all of you ones? You already foot the bill for the survival of this chosen place called Israel. You have helped displace Palestinians. They have now completely ruled out that Jesus, who wasn't even Jesus, was not a Jew. And therefore, according to the Jewish terminology as laid forth right here in that assumption, could not be Israeli nor Judean. I suggest we pay a lot of attention to this kind of confused output of information. These are the same ones, I might add, who denounce the protocols of the elder men of Zion as being false and forged. Keep that also in your heart.
Well, maybe they'll let you vote on it.
I would like...
But don't count on it.
...to speak on information now coming out. It's being poured out all over you, everywhere. But I have been given a couple of articles that came along with the inquiry.
That's fine. Go ahead. They're just brief little things about...
And because they suffice for my needs, I'm going to share them with you so that you will know what is coming forth. And believe me, it is coming forth from all over everywhere. For instance, there's one that comes from Germany. And the same article has appeared in many, many of your papers around your country. And it's just a little blur, but it's kind of interesting that this kind of thing is coming forth. You see, I was asked by some visitors within the last 2 days about the possibility of a major base, as understood, within 50 miles or so of Munich. Well, of course, you have Hinterschmidt-Rudi, which is where the Billy Meyer Semyasi Center is. But I wouldn't take that too seriously anymore, because that one has been pretty badly corrupted and taken over by adversarial forces and resources, at least on an outward level. That does not mean anything derogatory to Billy Meyer. It means that many things happened since those early contacts with Billy Meyer and this day. Now you have a situation where this place, Hinderschmidt-Rudi, is in Switzerland. And this article pertains to Switzerland, and it comes out of Geneva. And the reference is to a sect who wants an embassy for space aliens. So it says here, a Swiss sect that claims it represents extraterrestrial beings wants to found an embassy for them in Switzerland, according to press reports. Claude Bourhillon, head of a 250-member sect that claims it has contact with extraterrestrial beings called Elohim, wants to put the space embassy on a national ballot. Bourhillon claims he's the legitimate representative of the Elohim and has met the space creature several times. He turned to a referendum after Swiss authorities ignored the sect's efforts to get an embassy approved. He will need to collect 100,000 signatures to put the item on a referendum. Now, I utilize this because I have been asked from two different sources if, quote, Elohim represent Pleiadians. This whole story is a total bunch of hogwash. It would be nice if you formed an embassy, but do you really think that any Pleiadian could be allowed to use it? So you must look at things like this, and when you have a situation where you are going to go collect 100,000 Earth men's names to establish something, you are going to do it under the rules and regulations of the elite. And you can know that that is what this amounts to. Just simply more way of introducing space aliens so that at some point you can form a planetary movement against space aliens. So let's see what else is being said. Well, on April 4th, from an Arizona paper, comes an article entitled Alien Beings Use Humans, says author. This comes out of Reuters News Service in New York, and it goes like this. Alien beings repeatedly have snatched humans from Earth to conduct breeding experiments, according to Secret Life, first-hand accounts of UFO abductions, a book of interviews with those who say they were abducted. David Jacobs, nice name, a Temple University professor whose specialty is 20th century U.S. history, acknowledges the bizarre nature of the evidence he presents. More often the stuff of supermarket tabloids and dismissed as bunk by most serious scientists. In a recent interview, he said that the 60 abductees accounts for more than 300 incidents and are remarkably similar, and that he has found no reason to disbelieve them. Quote, what we have here is an enormous number of people saying unbelievably incredible things, things that fly in the face of reason, yet all their stories are the same down to the most precise detail, Jacob says. Far from being close encounters with benign beings as imagined by fiction writers or screen directors, the abductees in Jacob's book describe their experience as horrendous, a daily dose of pain. They tell of being abducted, usually at night from their beds, when they are physically lifted by a beam of light to an unidentified flying object, disrobed and physically examined from feet to head, with particular emphasis on the genitals. One of the most popular accounts of UFO abduction has been published by Look magazine in 1966, the story of Betty Hill and her husband Barney, who said they were abducted on a drive from Montreal to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, in September 1961. That incident became the subject of a book by John Fuller, which in turn became The UFO Incident, a 1975 television film. Throughout their abduction, the humans were controlled by the aliens' large hypnotic eyes. One frightening procedure recalled by all abductees is what Jacobs calls mind scan. Oh, how horrendous can you get, Jesus? In which an alien comes close to the abductee on the examination table and stares unrelentingly. It's like the eyes overwhelm me, one abductee said. Their eyes go inside you. You just are held. You can't stop looking. If you wanted to, you couldn't look away. You are drawn into them, and they sort of come into you. The abductees all give similar descriptions of the alien beings. That should be the first clue right there, Chilas. 2 to 4 feet in height, with large piercing eyes and hairless heads, bodies similar to humans but lacking genitalia, and gray skin that feels rubbery or leathery. Oh, my goodness, and we're going to conduct breeding experiments when these ones don't have genitalia? It seems like you're already off to contradiction. So the description fits the aliens in Steven Spielberg's movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Now, how do we know that? I don't believe anyone checked on their genitalia, so it's a little hard for me.